My name is Beth Beckman. I'm part of the Oral History Summer School. I'm here in Hudson, New York, talking to Phil Gellert at his office, and it is June 16th, 2015. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Phil Gellert, and I live in Hillsdale, New York. I lived there permanently since 1951, moved up during the summers of 1946. Work mainly in Hudson during the week in the real estate business. I grew up on a poultry farm in Hillsdale, went to the local Rolf Janssen School, then Cornell. Originally I enrolled in the art school, switched to the College of Agriculture with a poultry major, switched to ag economics, double registered at the graduate business school at Cornell, and then ended up in the graduate school. And stayed with the poultry business for a while, then became food distribution, and retired from that and concentrated mainly on real estate. And primarily engaged in selling land that I and members of the family own, or doing working on buildings. One to two family houses, although some are more. In the rental business, we have about between what I gave to my children, we have maybe 150, 160 rental properties, rental apartments.
Would you mind telling me a little bit about where you come from?
I was born in Mineola, actually. I grew up in Floral Park. And then I was born in a hospital just in Queens, which is right over the Nassau County line. And as I say, moved up to Hillsdale permanently when I was 14. I went back to Floral Park about 30 years ago and saw a house constructed on either side of the house that was originally our home, and I haven't been back there since. I enjoy the rural lifestyle of Columbia County. I do try to travel somewhere almost once a month, but I have no intention of retiring. I enjoy work and like to work every day when I'm home. When I'm through with my work here at the office, I'll go home, and I have a humongous garden, most of which I give away, but I have about 30, 40 different varieties of vegetables. But as I say, I try to travel quite a bit. I have five children, and each one of my children I'm taking on a trip one by one, one-on-one. My son, who lives in Hillsdale, is going with me to Cuba, probably in October. I have a daughter who's fluent in Chinese, and we were going to go to China, but she has two little ones, and it's hard for her to travel as such. Last month I was with one daughter in Spain. The month before I was with another daughter in Iceland. My four daughters are all out west, and they are all avid skiers, which I am also. So I was in Utah skiing in March. I was in Crested Butte, Colorado in February. I was in Bend, Oregon skiing with that daughter in January, and in December I was skiing with one of my daughters in Whistler, Canada. In November I spent my time deer hunting, mainly in my backyard. In October I traveled to Italy with my wife, and September I was in I forgot where I was in September, but I was somewhere in September. And August, I was in Uganda. I took my two grandsons to Uganda. So I try to travel once a month, almost somewhere. But in between, I work.
Have you always traveled?
Last few years, I enjoy traveling, but no, I haven't. It was 10 years after I got married, I first went out of the country. I was just too busy working, but I enjoy traveling, and my three brothers are we all grew up in Hillsdale, probably do even more traveling than I do. They're all in the food business, and they're constantly traveling all over the world, involved in their food business. I do it for pleasure, though.
What do you like about traveling?
I enjoy the seeing different people, cultures. In fact, I don't know why I slipped in a mental slip, but in September I was in Malaysia. And when I grew up on a poultry farm, and when you went to Cornell in those days, if you were in the College of Agriculture, you had to have farm experience. So because our area, Hillsdale, was basically, you could say, 85% white Protestant, my parents wanted to expose my brothers and I to different backgrounds. So we had Cornell students or other students from all over the world live with us. And in September, one of the people I visited was a boy who was went to Cornell from Malaysia. When he went to Cornell, he said that his uncle was the manager of a rubber plantation and arranged for him to get a scholarship to Cornell. When my brother Bob was in Vietnam during the war, my parents on a furlough visited my brother and they went to Malaysia. Turns out that this gentleman was a multimillionaire. He was his family was responsible for all the rubber that Malaysia exported to Red China. So when Nixon went to Red China 25 years ago, my brother George became the second American businessman to be invited to go to Red China. My granddaughter was in Malaysia at the time on a Fulbright scholarship last year, and you know, it was wonderful being able to have somebody that she could relate to. And of course, we visited him. He was in Hillsdale earlier this year. So we maintained contact with him and with others, with a boy from Japan. And up on my wall, I have a picture of our poultry farm. And not only does that have, there's one boy there from Iran, there's a boy in that picture from Thailand. There's another gentleman who we now, it was his sister was an Italian war bride, Carmen Barbado, and he very successful now in garbage and bulldozer. And our family raised, Carmen grew up in our family, and we raised him. So in that one picture, you have five different religions, and I have really a mixed family. I have a son-in-law who was born in India, who's a Muslim. I have another son-in-law who was born in Israel. And I have a granddaughter who was born in China. So that tradition of having mixed cultures continues in our day. And I think that's what I enjoy most about traveling, is seeing different cultures. And also the rental business can be stressful. And I look at it sort of as water off a duck's back, and I don't mind it. My secretary, I'm fortunate, Pam, has been with me over 35 years, and she handles most of it. But while I'm here, it normally would be stressful, but then I go away and travel, and I don't take a phone, and it's nice to see different cultures. There's so much to be seen. I'm working on trips now to Croatia and Slovenia and so many more places to see over the world. Last year I skied in four countries. I skied in Canada, as I mentioned, in the United States, Switzerland, and Italy.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I like to keep going as long as I can. But now I'm embarking on a new venture in Hudson, as I and other people sell their buildings in Hudson. And over the last years, I've sold over 20 buildings that I've had in Hudson. I think I still have maybe 17, 18 buildings left in Hudson, most of which I bought 20, 30 years ago. But as I sell a building, like I have one under contract now, and I sold one earlier this year, and one in Hudson, and I sold one in December and one in November, and whoever buys them wants all the tenants out. So it's creating a very tough environment for anybody that is trying to find housing in Hudson. Extremely tough. And from my standpoint, I'm taking the proceeds from these buildings, like the one I have under contract now, I bought 40 some odd years ago, and invested in single family houses. And I'm buying about 5-6 houses a year, single family houses, which are a lot less, require a lot less supervision once they're done. I have 3 houses under contract now that I'm buying. I bought one earlier this year, and fixing them up with the idea of eventually selling them. Mainly because though the rental business can be profitable, it is involved in a lot of headaches, and none of my children want it. If it's a single family house and something happens to me, it's easier to sell. So that's the direction that I see my business going into.
What kind of headaches?
I'm sorry, what?
You talked about stress earlier, headaches with the rental business.
Well, the rental business, you can have, we have a crew, fortunately, I have about 15 people who do all my work, from electrical, plumbing. But still, with any business, you have employees that are very good, and you have employees that aren't so good. Employees that show up every day of the year, and you have employees that, well, for one reason or another, will not show up 5 days a week. And that's part of the business. You have tenants that are very good, and you have tenants that are not so good. We have some very good tenants in Hudson, but generally, it's unfortunate, but overall you get a better type of tenant out of the city of Hudson. Years ago, a lot of the tenants in Hudson, that was their home. They raised their children here. Now, some of them are in an apartment for 40 years, 30 years. Now you get a lot that are transient. They're not going to stay as long. And so it's good and bad. But the rental market has changed. There was a rental association 30 years ago, 40 years ago, maybe about 20 of us. I think I'm the only one left who has been a landlord for that long. The buildings, as I sell the buildings, they're mainly purchased by people from other areas, from New York and so on. And they'll fix them up, and they'll do a wonderful job in fixing them up. But the people who fix them up are renting to a different rental market than I did. And that's part of the change. I mean, they'll spend a lot more money. Not unusual to see somebody pour more money into fixing up a house than they paid for the house. And that's one of the big changes. The average rent in Columbia County for a 3-bedroom apartment this past year, I think the statistic was $1,196. Until recently, we were renting 3 bedrooms for $750. Big difference. Now we're trying to increase to $850, $900, but we're still way below. And even at that rate, it's hard for a lot of the tenants to afford even a lower rent. Where if someone is from a different area, you hear of apartments renting for $1,300, $1,500, $2,000 a month. So it's a different rental market. So I'm trying to go in a direction of to buy a house, fix it up, and get a different type of tenant that isn't, that can afford it. you know, I wish one of my kids would like to go into the business, but they all have other ideas, other ventures, which is nice. My four daughters all enjoy they like to ski, and they all like the out west and a different lifestyle. Although one of the daughters commutes from Colorado. She works wherever she has it. She's an event planner, and she'll work out of Colorado, but sometimes she'll be in New York or L.A., wherever she's working. And my son lives in Hillsdale, and he'll normally go out to the city or wherever he has to be. He has franchises, and Cinnabon, which is a sweet, they make a sweet roll in a lot of the malls, and Five Guys, which is a fast food hamburger restaurant. And he'll usually go down to the city Wednesday night and come back Friday night. So with the cell phone, fax, computer, people can be a lot more mobile than they used to be. Now he's taken over 10 stores in the state of New Hampshire, Five Guy franchises. So I think by the end of the year, he'll have over 600 employees. Makes my business look pretty small. Next question.
Why did you get into the real estate business?
I'm sorry, what?
Why did you get into the real estate business?
Renting well, business? I always liked farming. I grew up, as they say, on a poultry farm. I went to Cornell, which is basically an agricultural college, although I studied more business at Cornell than not basically agriculture. But I like living in a farming community. Now, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, you could buy a farm and you could make enough money from the farm to pay for the land. So I bought a dairy farm. I had four grape vineyards. I was the largest grape grower in the Hudson Valley. I had a fruit farm. I had cattle operations. And the farming ventures in these other fields made enough money to pay for the taxes. Taxes were nothing. I made enough money to carry the cost of the property. And I accumulated about over 4,000 acres, most of which was in Columbia County. But then you would hit a period of time where taxes went up, the cost of business went up. Farming, when the profits from the farm would no longer carry the land, so I started investing in some real estate and buying rental properties. You know, over the years, at one time I had, I think, about 80 buildings. I still got probably between what I gave to my children, which I'm still running, about 60-some-odd buildings, which is, it's a lot of houses. But it was sort of a back step. It was to carry the land. But we still have over 2,000 acres of land between what I have and what my children have. And today, you know, you're not going to buy land anymore for $60 an acre or $100 an acre. Today, the land has quite a bit of value, as well as the buildings. Buildings have appreciated. But you'll always hear somebody say, well, I should have bought it 40 years ago. I should have bought it 10 years ago. And 10 years from now, they'll say, I should have bought it 10 years ago. And I know the buildings that people have bought for me have appreciated in value. And they'll continue to be that way. The land is the same thing. I mean, it might be slow now, but you're not going to see land in Columbia County for $200 an acre or $100 an acre, even $1,000 an acre anymore. And the trouble with land is that you can't sell it when you want to sell it. And one reason I'm going into single-family houses is it's easier to sell than it is a multi-family. The one I have under contract now is a 4-unit. The one I sold earlier in January was a 5-unit. and they're harder to sell than if they were single family houses. The people in both cases, they are not going to keep them. I know the one who's that I sold is a 5-unit. I think he's going to make an apartment for himself and maybe one other. The 4-unit is probably going to become a 2-unit. And that's what's happening. And they'll fix them up very nice and get a different type of tenant.
You've mentioned a couple different changes in like the types of people that might rent. So there's a change to be more transient, and now the change to, you know, different type of tenant. Can you talk about maybe why those changes have happened? Or?
Yeah, there's definitely a change where the people who were renting for me might have been, for the most part, they were either getting some, in the city of Hudson particularly, getting some assistance, whether it's social service or Section 8, or working at the lower paying jobs. And they're having trouble paying the rents, even though they're much lower than what the average is. The people who are, when my buildings are being sold and the people who are moving into it, they have other incomes. So, you know, you can look at this and say, my God, I'm paying $1,000 a month, if that's what your rent is. That's cheap compared to what I was paying in New York. And everything is perspective. You know, whatever, if you're from New York City and you're renting a nice apartment and you can rent it for $1,000, $1,500 a month, that's cheap compared to what you're paying in New York. So everything is in its perspective. But for a while, people would say, well, if I got to be on social services, why be on social services in New York City? I may as well be on social services up here. I mean, it's just the money, or Social Security. But I think why a lot of people then move to other areas is because if you're elderly, it's expensive. It's getting more expensive all the time for people to live in Columbia County. There's no question about that. It's harder for young people, especially young people, to survive in Columbia County. And there are, now at least there are job opportunities because of the internet, fax, and cell, that you can live in one place and work in another. I think the education opportunities are good. When my kids were growing up, when my son is 54, when he was a senior at Cornell, he said less than 10% of his high school class went on to 4-year colleges. We three youngest ones to private school. My grandkids went to the public school at Taconic Hills because of the environment changed. Instead of having people in the area that had no interest in education, you now have people that want their kids to go on to college. And Hudson has a Dollars for Scholar program. Taconic Hills has a Dollars for Scholars. And the kids get wonderful, wonderful preparation. One granddaughter from Hillsdale won a Fulbright scholarship. Her brother's at Cornell now. Her other brother's a sophomore in high school, and I'm sure he'll go to any college he wants. And so are his friends. There's more opportunities for youngsters to go on to college. When I was in high school, our parents were immigrants or farmers, and there was no stigma about going on to college. They wanted you to go on to college. But when my daughter Jen was in high school, grade school, kids made fun of her because she got good grades. So she and her other two sisters went on to private school, and they did very well. She's a pediatrician, but but now and they're outside of Hudson, even in Hudson, they try to get kids to do better. And I think that'll help. Even in Hudson, that'll help. And if they're doing a better job, making more of an attempt to get kids to stay in school and become more of an asset to their community.
What was school like for you?
Sorry, Rob.
What was school like for you?
I enjoyed school. I went from a small high school, you know, 50 kids. My brother George went 43 and played six-man football, and because our high school wasn't big enough, went to Cornell, played 1 year of football, and then I became president of my class at Cornell. I was president of my class at high school, and I enjoyed my time in college. I have a lot of friends still from college. I go back to my reunions, and we have my father started at Cornell in the engineering school, but financial pressure in the family, he had to leave. But I had three brothers who followed me to Cornell, three of my five kids. Two brothers had all three of their kids go. Another brother, one out of two, and now I got a grandson there. So we have about 16 members of the family that all went on to Cornell, and it's good. It's a family tradition because now a lot of professors know our family up there, even though Cornell's a very big school, and they know us, so it works out very good. And I enjoyed college. I thought it was a wonderful experience. It was good, and from there I went into the Army, and that I liked because it was a lot easier. I was on a farm, and the Army was a lot easier than a farm. I mean, if you had to do a 20-mile hike, I had no problem with that. I've always enjoyed the outside. I exercise strongly every day. I go to, all my kids, fortunately, follow the program of exercise, and all five kids have run the New York Marathon, and I don't think obesity will ever be a problem in our family because they ski and hike and bike, and which is nice. I don't watch television. My television hasn't worked in 4 years. If I have time, I'll work in the garden. That's what I'll probably do this afternoon if I'm not busy. But I like the real estate business a lot better than the food distribution business because if I'm free on holidays, and it was when I was a farmer or food distribution, you know, Christmas you had to work. When I was a poultry farmer, New Year's you had to work. Now it's easy. You want to take off to take a vacation, so I don't. Maybe I wouldn't sell any property. I wouldn't buy any property. But, you know, what good is it if you can't take time off? So that's the philosophy I have now, that I'm trying to take time off, and which I do. I'm just, as I say, fortunate my secretary can do most of my work.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your garden?
About my garden? Mm-hmm. As I say, it is big. I have blueberries, strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, rhubarb, Swiss chard, snow peas we're having so far, asparagus, every day, twice a day I have asparagus, fresh from the garden, they came in the end of April, you name it, squash, pumpkins, watermelons, zucchini, tomatoes, about four different kinds of tomatoes. And I enjoy puttering with it. I give a lot of it away. I don't want to sell it. I mean, that would spoil the fun of it. But it works out. During the ski season, I spend a lot of free time skiing. I like to hunt, as you can see from the deer around the room. But it's a good outlet for me. I also enjoy concerts. I like to. We're lucky in this area of Columbia County. There's McCadden Theater. There are musicals. There's Tannery Pond up in New Lebanon, there's the Folk Festival in Hillsdale, the Choral Festival in Sheffield. So we're fortunate that we're surrounded by so many events. You know, it's nice. I'll take one of my infrequent trips to New York. I'm going down because my brothers are in the food business. I'm going to go down to the fancy food show at the end of this month. But normally I stay clear in New York City. I really, when I travel, I enjoy more so going to rural areas than I do than the cities. I enjoy traveling to Africa. I've been to a number of countries in the last 5 or 6 years, in Africa, South Africa, Bosnia, Namibia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Kenya. I was in Kenya with my wife in May, shortly before they had that Nairobi bombing in the shopping center. And that shopping center, certainly when you drove your car and they looked under your car, you opened your trunk, and yet they still were able to bomb it. Then when I was in Uganda with my grandsons, I took my two grandsons with me. One was 15 at the time, one was 20. And we left Kampala Airport on a Thursday. On Friday, I had a travel advisory. They said Americans should not go to the Kampala Airport for the weekend. But things can happen. It can happen in Hudson.
What made you pick Hudson as a place to base your business?
I have more buildings out of the city of Hudson than I do in Hudson now. But most of our office is in Hudson because for years a lot of our rentals were in Hudson. And unfortunately Hudson rentals require the most work and problems. So that's why our office is here. But like now, the building's under contract. I have one in Elizaville, a house. I have one in Niverville. The third is in, then I bought one in Ghent earlier this year. So most of what I'm buying is out of the city of Hudson, not in the city. Of Hudson, and now I'm looking at one in Greenport. I have under contract. Last year I bought buildings in about 6 different towns: Claverack, Philmont. Right now, Hudson, for the most part, would be too expensive, I feel, for me to buy buildings because the market has already exploded. That doesn't mean that people will not come out very well buying, but they're buying to resell for a different type of market. I'm buying a building that maybe I can buy for anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 and then resell it. Your Hudson properties today, very few will be sold for under that. In that range. But Hudson has been decent over the years, I mean, especially the rental market. But you do have more problems. I'm in Hudson court almost every week for an eviction. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I had maybe one eviction a year. Now it's pretty frequent. Tenants don't pay, they can't afford it, the wage rate hasn't kept up with rentals, and yet if we evict somebody, we'll rent the apartment for much more than I'm charging them. And some of them are finally realizing 20 years ago they could jump from one landlord to another. That's not possible anymore because the landlords are selling buildings just like I'm selling them, and the people that are buying them are not going to rent to the person who's at the lower level. It's unfortunate, but you know, good tenants are, there are some very good tenants in Hudson now, but a lot of them are problems.
Where are those people going?
They're going to have problems. They are going to have problems. We have one tenant. We sold a building in November, was living at 432 Warren Street. So it was a decent tenant. We let him move to 449 State Street, 451. We sold that in January. Then he moved to an apartment that I have in Hillsdale. If the tenant is good, we try to find another apartment for him. Another tenant from 432, we moved to a building that we have on Allen Street. The difference is now we have no vacancies. So it's going to be harder, but I hope if I do sell this building, if it goes through, the tenants that are current rent, I'll try to help them find another place. The ones that aren't current, I have no sympathy for them. But it's going to become more and more difficult as I or other people sell the buildings, and I want to sell them because I want to concentrate on this other phase of buying houses and fixing them up, and hopefully, in many cases, selling them to the people who rent. People can actually rent single-family house cheaper than they can buy. People can actually rent. People can buy a house and pay less on their mortgage than they would have to pay for rent. Now, I'm not talking about the rent level in Hudson, but like the house in Ghent, which is near Chatham, Ghent, the person is paying $1,100 a month. He can own that house and pay less. So that's, you know, at the end of the year, hopefully I can sell it to him. After I have it, the capital gains tax makes it advantageous for me after I fix a house to rent it for a year and then try to sell it the following year. So that's really what I'm trying to get into. My wife thinks I'm crazy and I just keep buying, but, you know, as long as I'm not taking on any future debt. I'm doing it on a working capital. Years ago, I was not that fortunate, and I came close to going under, and it's not a feeling I want to repeat. So there's an awful thin line between making it and not making it. You could say it's a humbling experience. So it gives you a good perspective. So whatever I invest, I'm investing so that if I'm not going overboard on it.
You haven't talked much about your wife.
My wife, we've been married 54 years. At one time, I think when I got married, I thought 54 years was just being 54 would be ancient. She enjoys working with little children. The business is not her cup of tea. She went to NYU, was interested in elementary education, was an elementary teacher for a while in a local school, then had a nursery in our house, and sometimes volunteers, so she volunteers now at the library doing a little work. But my business, though she helps out, my business is not her cup of tea. She enjoys, we have 9 grandchildren, she enjoys spending time with them. She tries to exercise also, swims and walks, and does not really have my love for traveling, except to visit the grandchildren. So, but we're fortunate, all of our children will be coming during the summer to visit us, so they'll all be coming here. It's a little difficult for my wife to travel, so the kids are all coming here. One daughter will come next month, and the next one right after that, and then the one after that with the grandkids. So that'll be nice.
Do you spend a lot of time with your grandchildren?
Not as much as I should. I like to ski with them. The three in Oregon. The youngest is 5 and is just starting to ski. The 9 and 11 are very good skiers. The 2 in Utah are too young to ski. The 1 in Colorado already skis. And the 3 that live in Hillsdale are all snowboarders or skiers, but if they're around, I enjoy skiing with them. My son, that was in Zermatt, went skiing, but he gave up skiing, and he's too busy now, but all the daughters ski. One daughter who lives in Colorado spent 40-some-odd days on the slopes last year. But she always goes for, she's an event planner, that's the one who travels, works out of Colorado, and one of the companies that she was working for did most of her work, now finally offered her a full-time job, so I think that'll give her a little more stability. But they said she could do her 3 favorite shows. She did event planning for years for Victoria's Secret last year. She went to London for that. They said she could keep doing that work. She could keep working on the Clinton Global Initiative. And then she volunteers in Crested Butte, Colorado, to do a show pro bono for the local people. So they said she could keep up with those 3 and still work. And they gave her a wonderful offer and said she could work out of Colorado. Well, if sometimes she'll go, like last week she was in Florida, the week before she was in, Georgia, but wherever. But then she'll also do a lot out of Colorado, working out of there. So I'm fortunate. All of the kids are successful. The daughter in Oregon is a pediatrician, and she was the managing director of her pediatrician office. They had 14 or 15 pediatricians out of that office. So you can see what that's in Bend, Oregon, what a useful community it is, because I don't think you have 14 pediatricians in all of Columbia and Greene County. And that was just out of her office. And then another daughter, the one who's fluent in Chinese, teaches English as a second language. But that's in Salt Lake City, and those are mostly to immigrants from South and Central America or in the African countries. She doesn't practice her Chinese too much there. And the other one is was the marketing director for the music festival in Crested Butte and just retired this year. So I don't know what she's going to do. My son has these fast food restaurants, 5 Guys, Cinnabon, a couple Carvels. So they're all hard working. When we grew up and my kids grew up on a farm, my wife raised the kids, but I gave them a work ethic. So they're all very hard workers. And that proved advantageously for them and for us. They're all on their own, which is nice.
Did you raise them the same way you were raised?
Yes, our parents were immigrants, and they had strong work ethics, and my brothers are all workaholics, like I am, really. I mean, I enjoy work. And we're fortunate. We all got good educations. I double registered, as I mentioned, at Cornell, graduate business school, and then a graduate school. One brother triple registered, ag graduate and law school at Cornell. The other 2 ag school, graduate business school. So we all got good educations. We were fortunate, and all our children are getting good educations. And then they can go off in any direction they want to. my youngest grandson at 15 started busing in Helsinki. The problem is his parents would have to take him back and forth on weekends. The one who's going to be a junior at Cornell is now working for one of the major investment funds in New York as a, what do you call it, when you work as an intern. It's a wonderful experience, and first they said they'll try him for a couple weeks, and then they said he's got the job all summer. And I don't know what he'll do, but you know, it's a wonderful experience. Everybody else at this firm is either a PhD or a master's, and he's the only one that hasn't got a college degree. So, I mean, he'll get it eventually, and it's wonderful. And my oldest granddaughter, as I say, she did very well at NYU, then got a Fulbright scholarship to Malaysia. And now she's double registered with the public administration at NYU, and she's going back to Malaysia to do some work this summer for a month on the Fulbright. She started, she was in Malaysia, she was in the most conservative Muslim area in the country of Malaysia, and she started a camp for women, to a three-day counseling camp, because to help women insert themselves. And this year she's going back for a month to further that. So it's a wonderful experience. When we visited, I mean, they thought, how well she fitted in, and how they liked her, and how she liked them. So it was good. I think the main thing is, a good work ethic helps people. And, a good work ethic, a good education, it just teaches you to go out on your own, whatever direction you might end up in. When my father was a poultry farmer, they asked him, how could you go from the dress business to become a poultry farmer? And he said, the same principles apply. You're working with people, you're working with business, you got to use your mind. And it's the same thing.
I want to be respectful of your time. We're coming up on an hour. We've got about 10 minutes left. Is there anything that we haven't talked about yet that you'd like to talk about? About Hudson or about your...
Well, I think Hudson has a... I think it's a vibrant community. I think the people who are moving in are often... are bringing a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the community is... a lot more diverse than it was 30, 40 years ago. I think there are opportunities for young people in Hudson now that did not exist. And maybe people, not only in Hudson, but all of Columbia County, where people might not say they have to leave to go to the city. You can stay in Hudson. You can work in New York and stay in Hudson. Just a program like you're doing. I mean, it's so much more. The schools are trying to raise the level of education for everybody. And there's so many opportunities. Look, you have you got restaurants, you got, it's not just antiques. It's just... Every year they have a winter walk, and it just amazes me, even though I'm in Hudson every day, just to do that winter walk to see how it's changed. And I look at the buildings that I've sold and how they've been transformed. And and the rate is accelerated. And I think there's so many opportunities for people of all ages in the city of Hudson. I think there really is, for both the young and the old. I mean, you know, people can come to Hudson and start a second career, whether they want to have a bed and breakfast or they want to do something on the internet. I mean, I think how my daughter's going to work out of Colorado. You can travel wherever she goes, you know. My son is opening... It's taken over 10 additional restaurants in New Hampshire. and living in Hillsdale. And my daughter-in-law, who's married to that son, she's became the CFO of the Rockwell Foundation. So she drives to Norman Rockwell. They're doing an exhibit now in next month at the UN. So she'll spend 3 days at the UN lining up this Norman Rockwell exhibit. And this can be done while she's living in Hillsdale, Columbia County. She would rotate with my son. One would travel, one would do the other. And yet they were able to raise 3 children, and more people are doing that. So I think there are a lot of opportunities today, and there'll continue to be opportunities. And I think in Hudson we have a vibrant community, and I think it has not only Hudson, but Columbia County itself. You see so many, also you see a lot of people getting involved. In Hillsdale, where I live, I went to a library benefit. And it's just amazing how people will volunteer their time and effort, whether it's a fire company, whether it's a library, whether it's some other project. And so you can always keep busy.
Well, thanks so much for your time.
I thank you. I hope this is helpful for whatever, for what I don't know. But
absolutely. Yeah, this is going to be really valuable addition to the archive.
Okay.